The Bible doesn't say if somebody's divisive, we'll debate them, argue with them, email them, call them, talk to them, go back and forth with Facebook on them. No, that's not what it says. Don't say have compassion on them. It says mark them and avoid them is what it says. I've responded with people who were divisive before by being very compassionate, and I figured out why the Bible tells me this. Because people got hurt that didn't need to.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee. As the body of Christ, it's important to be unified. And with that said, we also must learn to stay away from divisive people. Find out more about this important truth today as Pastor David continues in Romans 16 with a changed life. Here's David McGee.
So let's turn to Romans 16. Now we get to an interesting portion of Scripture. Verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Paul is telling us here that there's some people to look out for, that he's warning us against. Let's read on to verse 18, then we'll talk about these two verses. It says, for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Now, let me take two different routes on this. The first of which, be careful. What Jesus, when it talks about Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ are we talking about? We're talking about the Jesus Christ of the Bible. And you need to understand that certain people use the name of Jesus. They're not talking about the Jesus of the Bible. When a Mormon talks about Jesus, they're not talking about the Jesus of the Bible. If a Jehovah's Witnesses talk about Jesus, that's not the Jesus of the Bible. Those are not what I would consider denominations of the Christian faith. They are aberrations of the Christian faith. Now, we've got people here that used to be Jehovah's Witnesses that have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's actually a guy who used to be was a Mormon priest for years who's now walking with the Lord. Isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome? That's just way cool. Yeah. So what kind of Jesus are these people proclaiming? And this may shock you, but if a Mormon or Jehovah's Witnesses show up at my door, I do not let them in. I don't talk to them. Now, on a rare occasion, God has said, go ahead and share with them. But you know what? These people, it's another Jesus. I'm not going to invite them in my home to proclaim another Jesus. Now, you go, well, Pastor David, shouldn't you be sharing scriptures? And they're not there to be enlightened. They're not there to be taught. They're there to convert me. And you know what? By and large, that just doesn't work. When somebody's trying to convert you and you try to convert them, you're just getting a big argument. Now, if God tells me to invite them in and share scripture with them, I'll do it. But friend, you know how many Christians have done that and got their head all filled with trash? Be careful with that. Be careful with that. This passage is saying avoid them. Avoid them. Don't do it. And this, understand, in the Bible, there is only one people group that I can find that the Bible says avoid. It's divisive people. It says, I mean, look out for the ways of the world, wisdom of the world, but as far as people, divisive people, that's the only ones. Now, let me take the other track with this. God has called me, anointed me, empowered me to be the senior pastor and teacher of this group. I take that very seriously. And so does leadership. And we can agree to disagree on certain things, and we're fine. Now, certain things we cannot agree to disagree on. If you think there's many ways to heaven, we're not going to be able to agree to disagree. That's just, you're probably, I mean, you can come here and work through that, but, you know, don't come to me going, hey, you really need to change your way of thinking. I'm sorry, ain't going to happen. Not in regards to many ways to heaven. Now, if you think something, I'll give you an example. I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. That is the belief that at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation, we are raptured out. Some of you may believe in a mid-trib or a post-trib rapture, mid-tribulation rapture or post-trib. That's fine. I'm okay with that. We can agree on Jesus and we can agree to disagree on the tribulation period. And what happens then? Okay? We're fine with that. But, you know, years ago, I was in one of the Gospels talking about the tribulation. I went through the verses of why I believe that. I'm not going to do that today because we're not talking about the tribulation really. But, you know, and I explained it and I said, look, you can not agree with me. But since I'm the teacher and the pastor here, you know, don't be trying to swim people's heads around and tell them why they should believe like you believe when I've been anointed as the teacher. So I said, so please don't do that here. Man, as sure as the world, right after the service, you know, I walk out and there's some woman out in the middle of the foyer going, I can't believe he believes in pre-trib. Everybody knows it's post-trib. I'll tell you why it's post-trib. It's like, that's being divisive. That's being divisive. I said, don't do it, you know. I said, look, you mid-trib, post-trib, we can agree to disagree. And when we're on the way up before the tribulation, I'll just explain it to you. But see, we can agree to disagree and not be divisive. Now, again, this thing of being divisive is very, and it tickles me when some, you know, and I used to think like this, oh, I wish I could be a part of the early church. That was just such a glorious thing. They didn't have any problems. This is the early church. We're not 30 years from the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and people are already messing up. They're already causing division. They're causing division against Paul. Paul, an incredible leader, spiritual man, awesome heart, and he would speak, and then people would come behind him and go, you know, he's wrong. I can't believe he said that, you know? Being divisive. So don't ever think somebody being divisive is a sign of weak leadership or something's wrong. Titus 3:10 says, if anyone is causing divisions among you, give a first and second warning. After that, have nothing more to do with that person. Strong stuff. Strong stuff. I'll give you these two verses in the Amplified as well. It says, I appeal to you, brethren, to be on your guard concerning those who create dissensions and difficulties and cause divisions in opposition to the doctrine, the teaching, which you have been taught. I warn you to turn aside from them to avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites and base desires. By ingratiating and flattering speech, they beguile the hearts of the unsuspecting and simple-minded. Another Greek definition for the simple mind would be sincere people. What's the life lesson here? Life lesson is stay away from divisive people. Stay away from divisive people. There is always going to be some people that want to be divisive. This church is always going to have people that are divisive. And I'm always going to be willing and able to deal with these divisive people. Why? Because the Bible tells me to. And the Bible doesn't say, well, somebody's being divisive, you just pat them on the back and encourage them a little bit. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if somebody's being divisive, you give them the holy boot of fellowship is what you do. Why? Because people can get hurt. And I've seen it here. And quite frankly, as a shepherd, that's when I go from feeding the sheep to protecting the sheep. And I take that job seriously. And sometimes I get angry when people are divisive. Not because they're hurting my feelings, but some people get hurt in these things. Verse 19 says, for your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I'm glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Great verse. I want you to be wise in what is good, and I want you to watch every wacky Discovery Channel program you can, is what it says. Definitely watch that guy who talks to dead people. That guy's wacky. The Bible says don't do that. I mentioned some other groups today, and I am aware of what their beliefs are, and I think we have to be aware to a limited degree of what their beliefs are. Why? So we can explain what our beliefs are. I was in Jerusalem in a cab. There was an Islamic. And when an Islamic says they believe in Jesus, ain't the same Jesus. There was an Islamic cab driver sitting beside a Jewish woman, and I was in the back seat. It was interesting. And the Islamic guy, he said, you know, I believe in Jesus, and I probably believe more in Mary than you do. And I said, well, I'm not Catholic, so you might have a point there. But and the Jewish said, well, I didn't know you believed in Jesus. Who knew this? And she turned to me and I said, whoa. What do you believe about Jesus? Well, I believe he's a prophet. I said, do you believe he's the Son of God? Do you believe he's resurrected? Do you believe he's raised from the dead? Oh, no. Not the same Jesus. Not the same Jesus. So I have somewhat of a knowledge, but you know what? I've read parts of the Quran. I'm not going to read the Quran. I don't want to. I want to read the Bible. I've read verses out of the Satanic Bible. I don't want to read the Satanic Bible. I want to read this Bible. Get to know this book. Why? What does this verse say? Wise and what is good? Well, what's good? This is good stuff. This is good stuff. I'm not saying that if you read something, you're going to be drawing circles on the floor or doing something weird. I'm saying this book is worthy, more worthy than anything else, more worthy than any other book that's ever been written. This book is worthy to be in, to study, to dig into, to apply to your life. And we have to be wise. Matthew 10:16 says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." I want to know this book. I want to know it inside out. I refer to myself as a student of the Bible. I will be a lifelong student of the Bible. I will never refer to myself as a Bible scholar. I will never refer to myself as a Hebrew scholar. I won't do it. Why? Because I'm always going to be learning. And the moment I use the word scholar, it's like I'm on a platform. I'm not going to do it. I'm always going to be, as long as I'm breathing, I'm going to be studying, I'm going to be in this book. The life lesson here, we should know our Bibles because it is God speaking to us and it is good. We should know our Bibles because it is God speaking to us and it is good. I understand if some, you know, if you're sitting here today, you go, well, I've tried to read the Bible and I don't understand it, and you know. And if you're sitting in here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, let me explain what can happen. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you begin to open this book is deeply spiritual. And we're told that the natural part of us, the carnal part, can't understand spiritual things. So if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you open this up, there's going to be a lot of stuff you don't understand. Why? Because you are in your natural state trying to comprehend something that's supernatural. Once you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, you'll be amazed at how this book opens up. And you begin to see stuff. Why? Because the Holy Spirit begins to reveal stuff to you. And maybe you're sitting there going, well, I just don't feel very smart in studying the Bible. God will give you wisdom. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Ask him to give you wisdom. I am pledging to be your partner in explaining the Word of God and teaching the Word of God. I will pour myself into you. I will pour myself out so that you understand this book. I will be your partner in this. And the Lord will reveal stuff in His Word to you. I promise you. Simple concerning evil. Friend, recognize something. There's something in each and every one of us that wants to know bad stuff. There is. Let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. Don't answer. You're driving down the highway. You see a wreck. What do? Slow down. See what happened. Now, as a pastor, I sometimes look to see if I can stop, pray, or do whatever. But there's part of us that wants to, oh, somebody get hurt? That's not good. That's not healthy. That's something that's in all of us that God here is saying, be careful. Be careful. You know, you think you want to go study all these aberrations and these cults? Don't do it. Why? Waste of time. The Treasury Department does something interesting. You know what they do to teach people how to recognize counterfeit bills? You think they show them each and every counterfeit? And how? No. They show them the real deal. And they get to know the real currency so much and so well that the moment they see a counterfeit, they recognize it. That's what we're supposed to do. Get to know this book because it is so real. Get to know it so well that the moment some weird hack comes up with something that's unbiblical and anti-scriptural, you go, oh, that's fake. I know that because I know this portion of the Bible says this. Because you know the real deal and you recognize the counterfeit. Don't study the counterfeits.
Thank you for listening to Cross the Bridge. We'll return to David's teaching in just a moment. You know, it's often the case that during this time of year, many of us will make New Year's resolutions in order to better our life. And this year, Cross the Bridge wants to help with the Cross the Bridge Everyday devotional book. Cross the Bridge Everyday is filled with 365 days of Scripture, David's life lessons, and practical applications that will help you find victory in life and encouragement every day of the year. David's devotional also offers a detailed index, allowing you to find specific devotions that deal with subjects like depression, relationships, salvation, and more. The way to abundant life is through fellowship with Jesus Christ, and Cross the Bridge Every Day makes spending time with the Lord convenient and enjoyable. Cross the Bridge Every Day is available this month only for a gift of any amount to Cross the Bridge Ministries. To donate, call 877-458-5508 or visit us online at crossthebridge.com. Act on your resolution today and receive David McGee's devotional with your donation. Again, that number is 877-458-5508 or online at crossthebridge.com.
Friend, do you have a heart for the lost? I invite you to send us the first names of your lost loved ones, and we will have hundreds of people praying for them. Just go to crossthebridge.com and click on the prayer button, and you'll enter their name. And if you put your name and email address in there, I'll send you free resources to equip you to pray and teach you how to reach your lost loved ones. Please, don't wait. This is so important. So please, again, go to crossthebridge.com and click on the prayer button and send us the first names of lost loved ones. We'll send you some free information, and together we can partner to deliver the good news of Jesus Christ to the whole world, the whole book, for the whole world.
Now let's return to David McGee's verse-by-verse teaching in the book of Romans.
Verse 20, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. God of peace will crush Satan. Well, that certainly sounds violent. Well, it certainly is. Why is the Bible a violent book? We're violent people. We have a warrior part of us, men and women. And you know what? It's a good thing. God created us like that. I'm not saying war is a good thing, but the desire to fight for what is right and what is good is a good thing. The desire to stand up in the midst of stuff that's going wrong, a good thing. Understand, there's good and there's evil in the world. Now, some people say, well, why is there evil in the world? If God created evil, doesn't that make God evil? Absolutely not. God created free will. People and the enemy of faith made bad decisions. If I put somebody in a 5x7 cell and I say, you can go anywhere you want to, that's not free will. They can't go anywhere. If God said, okay, I want you to choose me and I'm not going to allow you any other choices, that's not free will. God says, I'll give you choices. I give you choices. God has given you choices. Some of you are saying, I want nothing to do with God. You keep saying that. You keep saying that. You're going to say that with your dying breath, and God's going to honor your request, and he'll leave you alone forever. You've got choices. Now, I'm not talking to like one or two people in here today. I'm talking about everybody. We all have choices. Sometimes we think, well, hey, I made a choice for the decision. I made a decision for the Lord 30 years ago. Great, time to make a new one. I make a decision for God every day of my life to serve him, to follow him. That's a decision I have to make every single day. You know why? Because my heart can stray, my mind can stray. And you need to understand, if you're sitting here today and you're going, well, if God is so good, why do bad things happen? Again, first of all, we're in a fallen earth. The second thing is the enemy is very real. And let me give you a short version. In the Garden of Eden, Adam had the title deed to the earth. When he fell, he basically handed that over to our enemy, who right now, at this present time, is in charge of this earth. Now, he's on borrowed time. In other words, he's renting the space. And at some point, the homeowner says, you're done. That day's coming. But let's understand, because if you're walking around going, well, if God's in charge of everything, no. Here's what the Bible says. And if this is rocking your world, this is sound biblical, evangelical, Christian theology. I'll take you through a couple verses real quick, and then we'll close. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. In John 12:31 says, now is the judgment of this world, now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Calls him the ruler of this world. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Satan has power now. He has authority. I was talking to somebody one day, and you know, I talked to some interesting people, but this guy was saying, yeah, I think we're in the 1,000-year millennial reign. I said, you do? Yeah. I said, I don't believe that. He said, well, I believe we are. I said, in the 1,000-year millennial reign, it says that the devil will be bound up with a chain. And the guy said, yeah. And I said, well, if you believe we're in the thousand-year millennial reign, his chain is way too long because he's still wreaking havoc in this world. But there's coming a day. We're warned, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Spiritual battle, gang, is very real. And if you're sitting here today going, well, I believe in God, but I don't believe his enemy, then you don't believe in God, because God's the one that warned you about him. And this spiritual battle thing, you know, yeah, there's some people that are always talking about the battle and they're preoccupied with the battle and maybe they're imbalanced in that way. But gang, there's way too many people that are not recognizing the battle. Why? Because it's not always apparent. You know, as a young believer going to church, I noticed something. Me and my wife, Nora, we'd get along beautifully all during the week. Come Sunday morning on the way to church, all of a sudden we'd be arguing about anything and everything. We'd walk into church in a huff. Not that any of y'all did that today. But walk in there with all kinds of just bad attitude. And finally, after a few weeks, I went to somebody more mature in the Lord, and I said, why does this happen? He says, you're in a battle. I said, no, I'm on the way to church. He goes, you're in a battle. No, I'm just driving to church. No, you are in a spiritual battle. The enemy does not want you to receive from God. Gang, when you show up here and you start to cop an attitude and you start to focus on whatever, the music, my hair, the shirt, whatever, your discussion on the way to church or your argument or whatever, you're in a dangerous place where you might miss what God is trying to say to you. This battle is real. Let me assure you it's real. You get to choose who you'll serve. Choose well. A lot's riding on this one. Because this enemy, he's your enemy. Some of you may be walking with him, serving with him. Says he came to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't want you walking in this victorious life, this joyful life, this forgiven life that God talks about. Now he'll say, hey, come on. I'll hook you up. I got something. But what you trade, it's not worth what you get. Some of you are finding that out the hard way. But the beautiful thing is today you can make a decision that changes everything. Final life lesson. We get to choose to worship and follow a God that will lose or to worship and follow a victorious God. And we choose every day. Sometimes you follow yourself. Sometimes you follow the world. Sometimes you follow your enemy. All that is leading to a wrong place, a bad place. Sometimes we suffer from our decisions that we make towards those things. And sometimes we make those decisions and we try to blame God. Well, I thought you were going to give me a good life. God says, you're making the wrong decisions. Can't bless you in that. Choose to follow me. You know, when we were in school years ago, they did something interesting. They had all the answers in the back of the book, you know, which I thought made homework easy. But I thought it was a bad idea. I'm sure none of y'all looked in the back, but the answers were in the back of the book. Guess what? This Bible is the same thing, same way. The answers are in the back of the book. You're wondering what happens in the future? Guess what? Jesus wins. Simple, short version of the story. Between now and then are some battles. There's some battles. Man, your friends, your family, your coworkers, people you go to school with, there's battles going on. You choose. Choose who you serve. Exodus 32, Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whoever's on the Lord's side, come to me. Joshua 24:15 says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Each and every one of us has to make that decision. I'm not talking about tomorrow, next week. I'm talking about right now, to make the decision to serve God. And friend, if you come in here and you think, well, I've listened and, you know, and I've heard the Bible and I'm a little bit closer to making a decision and maybe next week. No. You know what? You're not closer. You're further away. How could you hear about a God that loves you so much that he had the flesh peeled off his back and was crucified because he loves you so much and then say, maybe next week? You're not one step closer, you're one step further away. And God forbid that at some point in your future, you can sit and hear a message about this love of God and not feel anything at all. But if you're feeling anything today and you sense that God is calling you, then you need to respond to that.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking Him to help you to live for Him. Now, God wants you to pray this prayer so much that He died to give you the opportunity and the ability to ask Him to forgive you. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe You died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe You were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for You all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. Jesus said He would not turn anybody away who comes to Him, and He came for those people who knew they needed forgiveness, those who were sick, not the righteous. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we would love to hear from you. You can call us toll-free at 877-458-5508. To receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. When you call, ask about this month's special offer featuring David's devotional book, Cross the Bridge Every Day. This inspirational book offers 365 daily devotions, as well as a detailed topical index to help you grow deeper in your relationship with the Lord. Cross the Bridge Every Day is available now for your gift of any amount. Again, the number to call is 877-458-5508. Or you can go online to crossthebridge.com. Thank you for listening. We pray that you will join us next time as we continue to cross the bridge.